Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you. Great to have you in that listening audience. Today we're going to talk about the mechanics of salvation. And if you've been with us the last few weeks, you know that we've been talking about obedience to the Lord and lines of authority in the kingdom of God. And as we review the lines of authority, we first of all acknowledge that God is the Father of all, that He is the Father of every single person, that every single person shall come to acknowledge that at some point in time. And Romans 14:11 says, "For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall give praise to God," or every tongue shall confess. And so as we think about lines of authority and we think about our Creator God and His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, the three persons of the Trinity, as you acknowledge Him, if you do it here on this earth, as you acknowledge Him, you come to the point where you understand that you need God in your life. You come to the point where you understand that without God, without the saving grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ and repentance in your life, that you have no life, that you have nothing. Unfortunately, some people are not going to confess Jesus as their Lord and Savior. They're not going to bow their knee to God until it's too late, until they are in hell and condemned for all eternity. And so I'm going to preach a little bit of hell, fire, and brimstone today, brothers and sisters. And I hope that if you are not saved, that you pay particular attention today, that you take note today, because this message is for you, the mechanics of salvation, so that you will know without any doubt, that you will know with certainty whether or not you are saved, whether or not you are in the arms of the Lord Jesus and in His arms for all eternity. And so if you have any doubts about that, pay particular attention today to this message, because it is for you. It is God's wish that none should perish. 2 Peter 3:9, it is God's wish that none should perish. And God is not slow, as some count slowness, and He is not slack about His promise, but He is patient towards all of us. He is patient towards each and every person, that all should come to know His saving grace, that all should come to know repentance, and therefore a salvation in Jesus Christ. Well, when Jesus walked on this earth, He chose 12 disciples to walk with, and after His ministry of 3.5 years, when He showed the world through signs, wonders, and miracles that He was the Son of God, He said to the disciples in John 16:7, "It is to your advantage," He says, "I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, because if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you." Well, Jesus was referring, of course, to the Holy Spirit. And since Jesus did go away, He was crucified, He was nailed to the cross, and He shed His precious, spotless, sinless blood for you and for me, that by His sinless blood we can enter into the Holy of Holies, that by His sinless blood we can stand before the judgment seat of Christ and before the judgment of God, and we can know for certain that we are saved, because our sins are covered by the blood, the spotless, sinless blood of Christ. And so Jesus said that Helper is going to come to you, and if I go, I will send Him to you. And then in John 16:8 it says, "And when He, the Helper, comes, He will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment." Verse 9, concerning sin, because they, the world, do not believe in me, or the unbelievers do not believe in me. And verse 10, concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you no longer behold me or see me. And then verse 11, because concerning judgment, the ruler of this world has been judged. Well, I'm going to go back and look at those three verses there, verse 9, 10, and 11, with a little more scrutiny. And it says, Jesus says that the Holy Spirit will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. So it is the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. It is the convincing or the convicting or the persuading power of the Holy Spirit in our lives that brings us to a place where we have to make a decision about Jesus Christ in our lives. And I ask you today, brother and sister out there listening to me today, what do you do with Jesus in your life? What do you believe about Jesus Christ in your life? Do you believe he is the Son of God? Do you believe that he went to the cross, that he died for you? Do you believe that he was bodily resurrected, that he came up out of that tomb, out of that grave, and that he now is sitting at the right hand of God? Do you believe that? If you have not made any declaration in your own life about what you believe about Jesus, do that today. It is time for you to do that today. And as we talked last week, the birth pangs, the time of sorrows is here on this earth, the time of sorrows. And we saw events this week that were even more troubling as a commercial airliner was shot down, and there's war breaking out in many places in the world that as we look around the landscape of the world, we see trouble on every horizon. We see conflict on every horizon. We see the nations at war, rumors of war, and actions of war. And so as you look and as your heart is troubled and as you contemplate, what is Jesus Christ to you? Who is Jesus Christ to you? As you contemplate that, if you don't know, if you can't say for certain that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, as you look around your life, as you look around the world today, do you know for certain where you stand if this were to be your last day here on this earth? If this were to be the last day, if Jesus were either to come back or for some reason you were to expire today and take your last breath today, are you certain that you would know Jesus Christ? Are you certain that if you stand before him, he would say, "Come in, my good and faithful servant. I have prepared a place for you. Come in and rejoice with the angels in heaven." Well, concerning sin, the Holy Spirit convicts us of our sin because the world does not believe in me, Jesus said. Well, if you're not convinced of your sin, let me try to convince you of it today. If you are not convinced of the fact that you are a sinner, you need to look into your own heart. Examine yourself. Be convinced of the fact that you are a sinner, that without the sins that you have committed, not only today, but yesterday, but the sins that you will commit tomorrow and next week, without some payment for those sins, you stand condemned as a sinner. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." And so God knew that our sins would separate us from him. God knew that our iniquities would separate us from him. And so God provided a way for us to have our sins paid for. He provided a way for us to have our sins covered, that we would not be condemned to hell for all eternity by our sins, that we would have our sins covered, that we would know when we stand before God that our payment has been made, the ransom for our sins has been paid, that Jesus Christ suffered and bled and died on the cross, that he gave his precious blood as a payment and a sacrifice for our iniquities and for our sin. Well, back to John 16:10, concerning righteousness, the Holy Spirit will convict us concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you no longer behold me. In other words, Jesus says, I'm leaving and I'm doing this because I am fulfilling all obedience to my Father. And as we talk about lines of authority, we understand that Jesus was obedient to his Father in every way, and even to the point of death on the cross. And so Jesus said, I'm leaving, but the Holy Spirit will be here to take my place. Well, here we are 2,000 years later, and we are still in the same situation. Man still sins. Man still has hatred in his heart. Man still murders, and man still commits adultery, and man still steals, and he lies, and he cheats. And man is in a wretched situation, and his iniquities will never allow him to come to God except for the fact that Jesus Christ made that sacrifice and made that payment for his sins, that man could be reconciled back to God. And then in John 16, verse 11, it says, concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. And so we know that when Jesus went to the cross, he then went down to Sheol after he died on the cross. He went down to Sheol and he released the captives. He went down and he took the keys of hell away from the devil, and he released the captives, and he led captivity captive. It tells us in Ephesians 4, 8 through 11, he led captivity captive, and he delivered the Old Testament saints and all the believers of the Old Testament. He delivered them to his Father, and then he sat down at the right hand of God, and he poured his blood out in the Holy of Holies. In heaven, he poured his blood out. He delivered his blood up to the Holy of Holies, to the Father in heaven, as a payment for all of the Old Testament saints, for all of those who would sin in the days ahead, including us this year, this day, in 2014. And so we know that the ruler of the world has been judged, and he has been judged condemned. Well, that doesn't stop the ruler of the world, that is Satan, from trying to interfere with our life and trying to mess up our life and trying to torment us and trying to get us to sin and take us into captivity and into bondage through addictions and through all kinds of behavior that is abhorrent to God. And yet we know that the devil's time is up, that the devil's time is finite, and the devil knows this, and that is why he is coming against people with a vengeance. He's coming against nations with a vengeance, and he is going to do everything he can to destroy the kingdom of God in the days and the hours that he has left. And well, Jesus goes on to say in John 16:13, but when he, the Holy Spirit, comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall take of mine, and he shall disclose it to you. And then Jesus wraps that up, that teaching on the Holy Spirit, and he says, all things that the Father has are mine, therefore I say that he takes of mine, and he will disclose it to you. Well, the actual mechanics of salvation are this, is that you have to believe, you hear the Word of God, or the convicting power of the Holy Spirit pierces your heart. Somebody preaches to you. You may hear this broadcast. You may hear teaching on the television or the radio, or maybe you sat in a church when you were young and you've backslidden. You've walked away from the Lord. You've backslidden. Your heart is hard. You've stiffened your neck. You've hardened your heart. But now you understand that you need Jesus. You need something in your life, that you have a void in your life, and that your sins are causing you to stumble. Your sins are causing you to have emptiness and a hollowness in your heart and in your life that you cannot get rid of. And I believe when that time comes that you have been convicted, you have been convinced by the Holy Spirit, you have been convinced that you need to make a confession of faith of Jesus Christ as your Lord. Well, that's why I'm speaking to you today, brother and sister. That's why I'm bringing this message to you today. Romans 10:8 says, what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we are preaching. Well, how are you to know about the gospel if somebody doesn't preach it? How are you to know unless you hear it? And how is a preacher to preach unless he is sent? And how is a preacher to speak unless he has studied the Word? And so God has given me the opportunity to speak to you. God has given me the opportunity to preach over the radio and to preach in the prison and in revival settings. And so I just thank the Lord for that, and I don't take it lightly. I pray, and I pray for you out there listening today, and I pray for every person in the prison. I pray for the people in Africa before we go there, and I just thank the Lord that he has given me the opportunity and the anointing to preach the word, the blessed hope, and tell the world about Jesus Christ. So the word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. So the word gets lodged in your heart, and then the Holy Spirit starts to work on your heart. The Holy Spirit starts to pierce your heart and speak to your mind. Verse 9 in Romans 10, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. And so there is the picture of salvation right there, brother and sister. First of all, the word lodges in your heart, that you then become convinced or convicted by the Holy Spirit, that word of faith that is preached to you. And then if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. It's an issue of the heart. It starts in the heart first, or then in the mind, and you contemplate, you meditate on who is Jesus, what is sin, what is my position in regards to God, what is my position in regards to the Creator of this universe. And as you believe, as you come to a point where you believe, you stretch your faith, you step out in faith, you can't see Jesus, you can't see the Holy Spirit, you can't see God, but you believe, you step out in faith, and then with the heart man believes, resulting in righteousness. And in other words, that's an indication of a desire for righteousness, to live in a right way, to live in right standing before your God, to not be in bondage to sin, to not be in bondage to addictions, to not be in bondage to pornography or drug and alcohol addiction. God wants to set you free from that. So you believe, even though you can't see. And so you step out in faith and you believe and you say, Lord, I believe that you are who you say you are, that you are the Son of God, that you died on the cross for me, that you shed your blood for me. If you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes, resulting in righteousness, and then the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. And Romans 10 verse 11, for the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. Verse 13, for whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And so after you understand that Jesus Christ died for you, after you accept that gift that he made, the gift of his own blood in your behalf, then you make that confession of faith. God doesn't want us to be silent Christians. He doesn't want us to be secret agents. He wants us to confess before other men, not only to voice what's happening in our own hearts, in our own minds, and in our own life, not only to give voice to that and affirmation to that, but also so that those around us will be testified to or witnessed to, so that when the Holy Spirit pierces our heart and our spirit makes agreement with the Holy Spirit, then we make testimony to others that this is what we believe. Just like you might believe that the Broncos are a great football team, or that you like hamburgers and french fries, you testify to that. You also testify to the fact that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. And believe me, brother and sister, this is the most important decision that you will ever make in your life. This decision trumps any other decision that you will ever make in your life, because this decision is not just for this life, but this decision is for all eternity. And it will determine your eternal abode, whether in heaven with God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit and the angels, or in hell in condemnation and eternal separation from God. Well, I'm going to close today in the second chapter of Acts, and this is the message that Peter the Apostle preached on the day of Pentecost, and it brought 3,000 people to the Lord. 3,000 people became convinced on that very day that Jesus Christ was their Lord and Savior. And so I'm going to close today the great evangelist message that Peter preached, Acts 2, verse 36. Peter says, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him, Jesus Christ, both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart, and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, Brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, Repent, and let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, and for your children, and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call to himself. Well, we're far off. We're a long ways away from Jerusalem, where this Pentecostal message was preached. We're a long ways away. We're far off, but we're not far off. The word is in your heart, and it is in your mouth. The word is piercing your heart today. If you have not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you have never declared to yourself and to the world that this is what you believe, that you believe Jesus died for you, that he shed his precious blood for you, that you are a sinner and you are in need of repentance, that you need to turn from your wicked ways and turn to the Lord, and then I say to you today, just as Peter said to you in Acts 2:38, repent and let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Well, Peter encouraged and he exhorted, and it said in verse 41, So then those who had received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls, and they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Well, as you contemplate this message today, as you meditate on your place in the kingdom of God, maybe you're not in the kingdom of God. Maybe you're sitting on the fence, or maybe you made a decision when you were a child and you're not certain about your place with the Lord. You're not certain about your place in the kingdom. I urge you today to turn to the Lord, to repent, to get down on your knees, repent of your wicked ways, repent of the ways that you are in rebellion to God, and just turn to him and say, Jesus, I want to serve you. I want you to be my Lord and Savior. I repent of my ways. Go ahead and list the ways that you are sinning. Confess each sin and turn to the Lord and ask the Lord to save you, and he will be faithful and true to come into your heart then and to save you. Follow it up with Christian baptism, immersion baptism, and let me know if you've made a decision of that sort today. Let me know if you've made that important decision today, and I'll get you some material and rejoice with you and pray with you as you come to that place where you know for certain that this is where you stand with your Creator God. Well, I thank you for listening today. God bless you. Thank you for listening. Tune in again next week.